This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome onto this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us, and I get to share another awesome story here on the podcast today. And it's someone who is heading home, so to speak. Fellow South African who's been living in Europe for the last decade or so, lives in Lucerne in Switzerland. I'm talking about Rowan Foster. And he's looking forward to racing at the Ironman 70.3 World Championships in Nelson Mandela Bay in just a couple of weeks' time. We talk about that on today's show as well. But we also just talk a little bit about racing and living in Switzerland and how he gets the balance right. Lots coming up. Before we get into my chat with Rowan, just a massive thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. The feedback I've been getting is phenomenal about Wheel Science. They are UCI approved. They've done some stress testing on those wheels, and they are phenomenal. And the best part about them, they're high performance wheels, right? They are right up there with the best high performance wheels in the world. They've done independent testing on them, and they are there. The best part, they half the price. I kid you not. If you haven't checked Wheel Science out yet, please do. You will be pleasantly surprised. And if you're in the market for a new set of wheels, don't buy anywhere else until you've checked out Wheel Science. It's all online. They ship all over the world. And like I said, half the price. If you've got any questions, you can hop on a call with Peter Coombe. He'll be more than willing to help you out and point you in the right direction. If you want to check them out, okay, we've put a URL together that makes it really simple to check them out. All you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. And on top of it all, Peter's thrown in 10% discount for loyal listeners of the Kona Edge. So when you're checking out, make sure you use the discount coupon Kona Edge. That's one word, Kona Edge, and they'll throw in 10% discount on your order as well. Definitely worth checking out. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. We head to Europe now here on the Kona Edge, and funnily enough, we're not chatting to someone who is native Europe, European. We're actually talking to one of my countrymen who's transplanted himself into Switzerland. Rowan Foster, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Rowan, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks very much. Glad to chat to you and share some of my experiences and learnings from Ironman and triathlon.
Absolutely. Rowan, you base yourself at the moment. You're in Lucerne in Switzerland. We were just talking before we started recording. I was lucky enough to go and race Ironman Zurich in 2014. It's an incredible place if you're into the sport of triathlon.
It is, exactly. I mean, for cycling, you have incredible roads. The facilities here are really fantastic. I mean, you have a lake often right in front of the door. You have fantastic mountain passes to ride. The condition of the roads is great, and some great trail runs to do. So one of the things of triathlon is a bit of volume. So to especially Ironman. So if you can, if you have a great surroundings, it makes it more fun, and you enjoy being outside.
It makes it a lot easier too. I mean, often we chat and for age groupers specifically and competitive age groupers, one of the big battles is how to fit in, as you say, the volume with a busy work life schedule. And if you live in an environment, like you say, you've got a lake, open water lake across the road, you can go and swim. So you don't have to hop in the car to go to the pool. I'm guessing you can ride from home. You can run from home. It just makes life so much easier.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even running and cycling from work, you know, it's a small town as well, so I work 12 minutes from home, but also from the front door of my house, I can hop on the bike and do a nice ride around the lake, or there's a mountain, so if I need a bit of hill training, can also run up the hill behind the office. That certainly helps. It makes life a lot easier. There's not sort of, let's say, half an hour commute around my work. So I have to be honest, from that perspective, I'm kind of fortunate in the sense that I can put a bigger volume of training in because the facilities and everything is sort of right on my doorstep.
Obviously, that summer, how do you deal with winter? As a South African, we don't do snow at the best of times. How are you dealing with it? Obviously, you've been there for a long time now. You're probably used to it.
Yeah, I love it, actually. To be honest, it's also a really good chance for me to switch off from triathlon. And I think for me, that's also quite important. Come the end of the year, around October, November, it gets sort of foggy and gray, especially down here in the valleys. Up in the mountains, it's spectacular blue skies, but you can often get weeks of fog. down here. So it's time to do something else. But then as soon as winter hits in about December, I do a bit of skiing. But since I've moved here as well, I've got into cross-country skiing, which is also amazing. I really love it. And it's amazing workout. It's just when you start off, everything hurts. It works your arms, your legs, your stomach. It's a full body workout. And it's just nice also, you know, if it's to get up into the mountains, into the forests, and just, we do a bit of skating in the cross country, and we call them Loipe, cross country routes. And it's a real alternative to cycling and running and swimming. And for me, I need that in a way downtime from the sport so that by the time spring comes, April, I'm really motivated to get back out on the bike. And obviously from time to time, if the weather's great and the roads are not too icy, can also get the road bike out, also have a mountain bike, maybe hop on that from time to time. But really it's a chance to take a break from the swimming, cycling, running and do something different. And also, but downhill skiing, it's a good leg work. So, it's nice to mix it up a bit, and that's what I enjoy here.
What took you to Switzerland? I mean, you've been there a while now. Tell me a little bit about your backstory work-wise. How did you end up where you are?
Yeah, well, I'm actually a chartered accountant. So I moved from Johannesburg out to London and spent a couple of years out in London and then saw a great work opportunity here in Switzerland. So I thought, yeah, that sounds interesting. Switzerland, I've visited a few times. Great country to visit and travel through. So I came out here and thought, well, let's spend a year or two out here. 10 years later, I'm still here. As I said, the quality of life is fantastic. I have an interesting job in finance. Obviously, balancing that between all the training is always challenging. Full-time job in finance and training on the side. But as I say, when the facilities are here, you don't have a long commute either side of your job. That certainly helps a lot.
One thing that blew my mind in Switzerland, Rowan, if somebody who's listening to this has never been, I tell you what, this, just go to Switzerland just for this. The efficiency of the public transport in that place is phenomenal. I mean, I remember standing at a bus stop. I think we were going to check in for Ironman Zurich, and the bus was like 30 seconds late, and all the locals were moaning like there was no tomorrow. Where's this bus? It's 30 seconds late.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I have from time to time, there is a bus that it may be a minute late or a train and you think, what's going on? But certainly without a doubt, you can rely on it. And I guess it comes back to the story of, you know, having a good facilities and things around, you know, okay, I want to do a certain cycle route. I can hop on the train, go to a certain point, ride back from there. And everything kind of just works in the background. You kind of take it a bit for granted from the time. And then when it is a few minutes late, you think, what's going on? But yeah, it's a great advantage.
Absolutely. How did you get into this water triathlon, right?
Well, when I moved here, I mean, I've always been active, let's say. I've never been a huge endurance sport person, but back in South Africa, I did one or two adventure races, which was really great fun. There's one, the Swazi Extreme, where you do a bit of orienteering and running and kayaking. So kind of when I lived in London as well, just kind of kept jogging to be fit. But when I moved to Switzerland, I thought triathlon would be good. So also looked up, just Googled a triathlon club in the area, and there's I'm part of the Hergisville Triathlon Club, and met a couple of guys there, and yeah, it was a great club, and thought, oh, this is quite nice. So started, built up there was some really, I tried to do more of the off-road triathlons. Yeah, there was they called it the Pilates Berg Triathlon, so mountain triathlon, swim in the lake, mountain bike halfway up the mountain and run to the top. I nearly died, but it was great. I really enjoyed it. And then there's another, so I thought, oh, that's fantastic. And then kind of went on, one of the other guys in the club was doing one called the Inferno. It's a great race. It was actually yesterday. It's a 3.1 kilometer swim across Lake Thun, which is near Interlaken. Many guys may have been to sort of the tourist center of Switzerland. And then you cycle over two mountain passes, and then you bike over another mountain pass, and then you run to the top of the Schilthorn. It's the famous mountain that was in one of the James Bond movies. So 5,500 meters of climbing. So I thought, wow, that sounds insane. I'm keen. I signed up and did that and ended up doing it 5 years in a row because it's such a great race. Certainly not my race at all, because I'm probably a slightly heavier triathlete. So doing 5,500 meters of climbing is certainly not for me, but just incredible scenery and just such a great route. So then I was kind of, that got me into the long distance triathlon. And I kind of thought, well, you know, I can just, I'm not that fast, but I just keep going. So it was great. So that's kind of, that's where it kind of kicked off and went. And it's just really a nice, let's say, community in the triathlon club. It's a great bunch of guys and girls. And, you know, we train together and it's fun. I think that's one of the things with the sport is, as long as it's fun, you end up doing, you can put in a big volume because you're enjoying it.
When did you realize you were good at this and you could possibly sort of look at qualifying for world championships?
I still don't think I'm all that good because I I think there's still room for improvement. But I think just surrounding yourself, let's say the level in our club is also, let's say, very high. You know, there's quite a few guys that have been to Kona. One of the guys in our club actually won his age group in Kona. We had an Olympian also in the club. So you start surrounding yourself with quite a high level, but you also see these are normal guys. You know, these are guys like you and me who just train hard, who get focused. And I thought, hey, you know, if he can do it, maybe I'll give it a go as well. So back in 2013, one of the mates in the club, he won his age group in Zurich and he went off to Kona and I was like, okay. So I trained a little bit with him as well. And then he was racing in Cozumel. So I thought, I wonder if that's possible. So started training and just kind of ad hoc kind of did what I could in between, but I did all right. I think I finished 13 in my age group, not with a qualification. But then suddenly I thought, okay, now that I've put in a little bit more volume, this might be possible to actually get a slot for Kona. So that's when I thought, okay, then I did Ironman Zurich in 2014. And I had the flu a few weeks before. So really, didn't have a great race at all. Really, really suffered through the race. But I kind of took it as it is, you know, you don't beat yourself up too badly considering the circumstances you came into the race. And then Mallorca I did afterwards. Really started, I got it just briefly, got a training plan off the internet. And there I had a good, let's say, sub-10 Ironman race, which was quite good. But in the end, Mallorca, the standard was so high. I think I still finished 23rd or something. So I was like, all right, Kona's nothing for me. Ironman South Africa, that's in Port Elizabeth. That'll be my last Ironman. I have to do the home race because I'm actually originally from Port Alfred in Eastern Cape. So I studied at the university in Port Elizabeth and I thought that would be great, a home race, kind of wrap up the Ironman and then look at something else. And then so got a really good plan that it was called the Road to Kona and followed that very strictly through the winter, almost exactly hour for hour. Followed the plan and felt really good coming into Ironman South Africa, raced and ended up finishing ninth, which got me the slot to Kona. So I was like, wow, amazing. It really hard work works. Followed a good plan, just kind of, and let's say it built up over a few years of my fitness and then had a great race and got the slot for Kona. So that was the first time I went back in 2015. So at the end, a bit of, let's say, focused training, and I got there.
And obviously, it wasn't a one and done. You've been around. It wasn't a case of let's go see if we can do it and see what it's like. Now that it's in your blood, it's tough to get out, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I finished. I raced Kona almost in a way just to enjoy it. I think I came down. At the end, I wanted to, let's say, do round about 10 hours. I was coming along the Queen K Highway, heading down, saying, am I going to crack 10 hours or not? And I was like, I have to run the last 10 Ks in around 42 minutes. And I was like, at the end of an Ironman, that's tough. And I was like, let's go. But you know what? I said to myself, just enjoy it. Take it in, enjoy it. And it was incredible. You come down a Lee Drive and there's just the crowds either side cheering. And I just soaked it up and it was the most amazing feeling. But done, crossed the finish line and it wasn't long after. It's like, yeah, that was great. That was such a great experience. I've got to do it again. So afterwards then, then the next year I looked at a few races. I actually registered for Ironman Nice, but then, family circumstances. My father passed away. So you just kind of smashes your world. And I looked to do Zurich again just to finish. Did Zurich, not a great race, not well prepared, came off the bike very well, but just on the marathon suffered. So Made it across the finish line, but no Kona slot. But then in the end of the year, a mate of mine was going to Los Cabos in Mexico. So I thought, oh, why not? Let's give that a go. Went up there, joined him. The hottest race of my life. But in the end, to be honest, the commentator must have got it wrong, because I was about to start my last lap and I was like, that's it. I can't deal with this anymore. It's too hot, because it was over 40 degrees in the desert heat. And then he said, because there was no professionals in the race. And he said, in overall, I think he said, eighth position is Rowan Forster. And I was like, oh no, I can't pull out now if I'm overall eighth position. In the end, he had got it wrong, because I think I finished overall 15th or 16th. But just as well he said that, because I didn't give up. I just kind of dragged myself around the last route. And then, yeah, finished in fourth in my age group, and we had five slots. So I said, thank you very much. I'm off. I'm going to Kona. So, yeah, went off then 2017. And there I really wanted to give it a good go and train, and then and focus on Kona as my sort of main race. And, yeah, had a fantastic race. It was, I also took on a coach, which I have to be honest, has helped me a lot in structuring my training. As I say, you know, you're working 100% as well, and you're trying to train and fit everything. The training's got to be efficient. And if you want a good ranking in Kona, you have to really focus and prepare on that. So got a coach, part of the Tri-Sutter, Brett Sutton's group of coaches. He's the European coach here, and he's really helped me incredibly. And I'd say in the last 2 years, my level of triathlon is now, through that structured training and guidance, has taken a different level. I also was into a new age group last year, so I managed to get my first, let's say, podium positions, but a second and a first in the half Ironman. And then this year, I went off to Boulder, sort of a bit of preparation, and then won my age group in Boulder. Got a first in the Ironman, so took my slot for Hawaii this year. So I'm back at the end of this year. So two big races coming up, South Africa in, yeah, exactly 2 weeks. We'll be at the half Ironman in Port Elizabeth, and then in Kona in October.
Ryan, obviously, I mean, I'll talk to you about the coaching side of things, but let's touch on Ironman South Africa in a couple of weeks' time. Obviously, you're living in Switzerland, and you've been there for a while. You've been in Europe for more than a decade in total.
Yeah.
You're probably a citizen, I'm guessing, in Europe, but you probably still have this real connection to South Africa. And I've spoken to a lot of South Africans who are based here and are looking forward to racing, but it must be pretty special for you to be coming home to South Africa, and particularly Port Elizabeth, where you've got an affinity to the city because you studied there. It must be, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It must be so exciting. It must be like Christmas for you.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really excited. I mean, my student digs was down at the, just in front of King's Beach there. So the run route is going to go past my old student flat. So, I mean, that's just special. My sister still lives in Port Elizabeth. My mom's coming up from Port Alfred to support. It's just great. You know, the home crowd is there. So that'll be fantastic. And it's also just nice, as I've been in Europe, and we've got eight of us from our triathlon club here in Switzerland that I'm taking with to Port Elizabeth. So everyone's really excited and really looking forward to racing in a home race. And doing a lot of try to make sure that I don't just want to race. Let's say I don't just want to finish. I want to race. I want to have do South Africa proud. have a good race and see where we finish.
I wanted to ask, are you feeling any pressure?
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, I think, I like it. At the moment, I think it's still 2 weeks out. So now just focusing on training and putting the hours in and getting some quality training done. But probably as we come in there and, you know, they've got the whole show the week leading up, there's the Parade of Nations and all of that. Certainly, I think the pressure will start building. So, but I like it. Looking forward to it.
And avoiding people in this 2 weeks, because you don't want to be chatting to anybody who might have a sniffle or a sneeze.
Exactly.
Rowan, talk to me about the coaching side of things. It's taken you a while. What's taken so long to get a coach? And I'm interested because obviously you said you got a plan off the internet, then you followed that Kona plan, and now you with Brett Sutton's crew. Do you almost regret that you didn't do that sooner, seeing the improvements that you've had, or has that sort of been part of the progression that you needed to get to a point where you got to that decision?
Exactly. I think I needed to get there. To be honest, when I moved over here from London, I was kind of a good 8 kgs heavier. And for me, it wasn't really, it was a social thing. It wasn't really a competitive. I just wanted to, my focus was I had a new job here. So the focus was work. And then just to socialize and be able to fit enough to join some people for some rides. And I think that was important for me at the time, just to really enjoy it. And if someone said, okay, right now, this is the plan. Now you're going to be training on Mondays for so many hours. I would have probably said, nah, that's not for me. So for me, it was important early on just to enjoy it and to make the most of it and to do it when I can. And then since then, I've got to the point where I had to realize, actually, now there is a real benefit from structuring this a lot better. And I can see the improvement that's coming from that. And I think that journey was really important. And now, you know, I'm happy. And also, I think maybe I should have started triathlon sooner. I think I don't necessarily regret that. I really enjoy the situation I'm in at the moment where I still have my work, I have my career, and I can do the sport, let's say, to a really good level and to be very competitive in races. And I think that journey has been good.
Yeah, I like the approach that you've taken, Rowan. If I have to be honest, I mean, so often we've seen it, and I've been there, where you sort of go all in, and I'm one of those guys who it's all or nothing, and it's easy to get burnt out, and I almost get the sense with you that it's you know what, it's what's working for me now, and come what may, I mean, you don't know 2 years from now if you're still going to be as serious about the sport, but you sort of, it's been a progression, and so often you see people come in and they're all gung-ho, first year, first 2 years, they're all in, they've literally sold their house to buy a bicycle, and they've got their coach, and then you never see them again after 2 years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, who knows how long I'll be in the sport. Maybe this is my last year of long distance, or maybe I'm still racing at 60, hoping to maybe get an age group win in Hawaii at 60. Who knows what the future holds. But for me, the most important thing is to enjoy it. And when you're enjoying it, you do much more. It's fun. And I don't think I've enjoyed it as much as I have the recent years because, you know, just the whole situation, I'm getting the results, I'm having fun. I'm not, let's say, feeling, oh, I have to do these sessions now. Let's push. I'm just trying to find also what works for me. For me, I know early morning training doesn't work. I don't like it. I prefer sleeping, and I enjoy rather go to work early and focus on my work, and then, you know, maybe do something over a lunch break or in the evenings. That works for me. I don't feel guilty when I don't do a 5 a.m. run in the morning. And I think for me, enjoyment is the biggest factor there.
And I guess living in Europe in summer, particularly Switzerland, the sun goes down really late, so it allows you some really good training late afternoon after work.
Exactly. I mean, I can finish work at 6 and still in the height of summer get a 3-hour ride in because it's light till 9 o'clock in the evening. So that certainly is a benefit. Yeah, provided we have a summer like we had this year, it was fantastic. Yeah, we've had some summers where it just rains endlessly. So. Yeah, it's a bit of a chance, but there is that advantage.
You mentioned the sleeping. Let's talk a little bit about recovery, because I think that is probably also being an age group of working hard and keeping all the balls in the air. What's your, like, I mean, how important, and tell me a little bit about your recovery schedule. How do you work it?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think sleep is, for me, I always joke with my mates, it's like, 9 hours sleep, I need it. If I don't get the 9 hours sleep, and let's say there was probably a few months ago, I was really pushing on all corners, you know, I was training hard, had a few social events coming up, was work, there was a couple of things going on. So then the sleep was cutting down, and I could feel straight away I was coming down with the flu. I was like, okay, something has to go here. You know, you have to start reassessing, because, I mean, and that's the reality of it. I mean, that's the life, right? We always try and push the limits. And I guess as, let's say, triathletes, you're pushing it even more and you're trying to cut corners. You say, okay, where can I optimize here and there? But as soon as maybe I can cut the sleep out for a few hours, but I know I can't do it long term because I'm just going to be man down. So recovery is important, absolutely. And I think also just generally for the body, that's why I talk about the seasons in the way that I have the triathlon season through the summer. I train hard, but then in the off season, in the winter, I take it easy. And it's not to say I don't cycle, run or swim at all, but it's more just when I fit it in and it works. And I just keep that sort of base level up, but I really give the body a chance to recover. And get that downtime from triathlon. And I think that's important. And that's, I find that really important for me.
I like that too. And as much as you're giving the body the downtime, I mean, in the off season, you're giving your mind a bit of downtime as well with that, with the cross training and the cross country skiing and that you're doing, which I think is awesome
and
as
I
well.
I think also things like, there's even cross country races I did a couple of years ago, but I find I don't want to even do that in the winter. I just need to give my mind the rest from that competitive training of pushing, even though I'm not a competitive cross country skier by any stretch of the imagination. My mates always joke and say, you should try and represent South African cross country skiing, but until they see how badly I cross country ski. But, you know, it's just the chance to give your mind a break from getting up on race day, getting up at 6 a.m, getting your stuff prepared. I mean, in summer, that's fantastic. I like that. But in winter, you need a break from that. So I need a break from that.
I'm pretty sure you could make South Africa's cross-country skiing team, Rowan. I've seen how the rest of us cross-country ski, and I can tell you it does not happen. So you've probably got a good chance to go to the Olympics, mate. Let's talk a little bit about what you still want to achieve in the sport. I know long-term is, I mean, you never know where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing, but you do have a competitive streak. When all said and done, what would you want to have achieved in the sport of triathlon?
Yeah, I think the South Africa race in 2 weeks' time, there I want to, a top finish would be great. I mean, I think being realistic, on the shorter distance, I have to run that half marathon somewhere around 1 hour 20, 1 hour 22. And I think the fastest I've done is 125, 126. So that's a good 3-4 minutes on a half distance. You know, in that time, you have 10 positions gone. So realistically, I want to have a strong finish in South Africa. I'm going to race as hard as I can. Am I going to get onto the podium or top 10? That would be nice, but realistically tougher. I think Kona is probably the longer distance suits me more. You know, you still have to have a fast marathon there. I think, you know, I finished 25th last year. Improving on that would be great. You know, I think I had 3 minutes. There was 10 positions gone in 3 minutes ahead of me when I finished last year. So that was quite tough. You know, top 20, top 10 is, you know, I think that's really ambitious. But yeah, finishing strongly and racing hard, that's my main goal, you know. So being competitive in South Africa and Kona, that's the goal. Long term, as I say, I'm enjoying it. While I'm enjoying it, I continue. When the fun factor goes, yeah, maybe time to have a look at something else. Maybe a couple of the, you know, I always look at some of the bike races. Cape Epic is something I'd still love to do one day in South Africa. Alternative racing. But for now, yeah, enjoy it. Continue. And while it's fun, keep with it.
I tell you, there's a Olympic cross country skiing with your name on it. Rowan, let's talk a little bit about sort of people getting into the sport. What advice, knowing what you know now, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you got into sport, what would you tell yourself?
Good question. You know, I'd say patience is, if you're starting the sport, be patient. And it depends, I think, also where you're starting from. You know, I've seen even some friends that have, let's say, ex-competitive cyclists or competitive swimmers or, you know, competitive runners, they're starting at a very high level. And then I'd say, yeah, go for it, you know, refine the other areas, and you could probably quite quickly get a qualification. You know, if you're coming off a strong running background or something like that, you could quite quickly get a Kona slot or a top ranking in the half Ironman or Hawaii or something like that. So I think it depends where you're coming from. If you're coming, let's say, from where I'm coming from, as a person who's kind of did some sport at school, kind of kept fit, you know, went to gym regularly to keep the, you know, cardio going and jogged, but now you want to do Ironman, I'd say it's fantastic. Keep at it and just be patient. It takes years to, let's say, if you're not from an endurance sport background, to build that endurance. Be patient, enjoy it. If it's, you know, find what works for you that makes you enjoy the sport. Because I think as the enjoyment factor is there, you do more of it because you're enjoying it. The volume increases. And with that, your performance increases.
Brilliant.
And if you don't get it the first time, continue. I mean, my first time I tried, I considered Kona was in Cozumel. Then it took another 3 Ironmans before I qualified in South Africa. So if it doesn't work the first time, continue. And I said the same thing to a mate in the club who came with me to Cozumel also with a goal to qualify for Kona. And he missed it by 1 slot. And I said, just keep at it. You know, your performance is there. Just go for it. And he then raced in South Africa and got his slots in South Africa. So that would be my suggestion. Enjoy. Be patient and enjoy it.
But before I wrap up, let's just touch on choosing races. You mentioned that you're not the smallest of triathletes. Man, it would be amazing to race at 60 kgs, don't you think? How do you choose your races? I mean, you mentioned to me that climbing is not, I mean, races with a lot of climbing is not your sort of strength. Do you pick races specifically according to courses, or is it a case of, hey, what I can fit in my calendar?
Let's say I avoid the ones with over 2,000 meters of climbing. Lanzarote sounds like a great triathlon, but that'll just kill me. but it also depends. I mean, also Ironman Nice, I considered it. That was actually, I'd registered for it. I rebooked it because of the family issues. But I think in hindsight, that's probably also not the best race for me. It has a long climb, apparently not a steep climb, but a long climb with an extremely fast downhill. And I mean, cycling in Switzerland, I certainly can handle a downhill. But I think if you're living in the area and you're cycling regularly on those roads, you know every single curve on that road. So the guys racing locally probably certainly have an advantage there versus me coming from Switzerland. So Boulder I chose also this year because it sounded like a great destination and the course looked good. Nice rolling hills suits me perfectly. To be honest, Kona is a course that suits me perfectly as well. It's nice rolling hills and then a good strong headwind on the way back. For a heavier guy like me, the headwind's okay. it's tough, but I think it's tougher for the other guys. So those are the courses. Certainly, yeah, I choose. But for me, also the location of it, it's a nice area to combine with maybe a holiday or something like that. Cozumel raced, did a week's holiday afterwards. Mallorca is a great place. Unfortunately, there is no Ironman anymore, but it's a great destination. Boulder also fantastic. So yeah, I think I just avoid the big mountains, and specifically if I'm looking to get a qualification.
And you're not scared of a bit of heat either, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think it seems like I hope it must be the South African genes. Somehow, particularly a bigger guy, normally you suffer more in the heat, but somehow I seem to manage it a bit better. So, yeah, so probably the South African genes that we
need. Brilliant. Rowan, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about your individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time.
Thanks, Brad. Great chatting.
Thank you so much for joining me on this edition. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Rowan. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm about to head out on a run. Before I do, though, just a big thank you to everyone who has left us iTunes reviews over the last few days. We've got a few more in. If you haven't done it yet, please do. It really helps us grow this podcast and gets us in front of more triathletes around the world. Got one in from, I think it's Woe for One. I might have butchered that name, but it says, "Ever expanding knowledge. I am a long-time listener and a huge fan of the podcast. I find it useful from the perspective of how everyone does things differently, so I can glean ideas. But then also, there are the familiar themes in the stories, whether it be dedication required to train, type of training, or how important family life balance is. The podcast, for me, reveals a great side of triathlon. It's an individual sport, and sometimes detractors focus on that. But it makes a race, and the sport is all individuals coming together. And I love listening to people's stories from all walks of life on the podcast. Great work, Brad. Keep it up." Thank you so much for that review. Much appreciated. And yeah, thank you for reaching out. I really do appreciate it. It makes me happy that it is impacting people around the globe. And as I'm recording this as well, Ironman Copenhagen. How's this for a cool story? Ironman Copenhagen taking place this weekend. And a good mate of mine is one of the race announcers, Gordon Graham, a South African guy. And there's a few. I mean, a lot of you do know Paul Kay, who's also from South Africa. But Gordon's doing lots of international races and growing as an announcer. But there were a whole bunch of Danes who went up to Gordon and asked him about the Kona Edge and if he knows me, which, Yeah, I got a message from Gordon in the week, and that is amazing. So to everyone who's racing Kona Edge, if it was you, I don't know who it was, but if it was you that went up to Gordon and asked, thank you so much. I mean, that made my day. I really do appreciate it. So I'm going to put the challenge out there. If you're racing an Ironman and there's a South African announcer, either Gordon or Paul, go and say hi and tell them that you listen to the Kona Edge, because they'll pass on the message to me, which is cool. I really do appreciate that. Before I go, thank you so much to our sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It was brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for high performance wheels at half the price, then head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. You can get all the details there, and make sure that when you do check out, you use that coupon code Kona Edge, all one word, Kona Edge, and they'll give you 10% discount. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge. We'll be right back.